We're still waiting for Moscow's response to the expulsion of Russian diplomats from the U.S. and more than 20 countries. Those expulsions follow the nerve agent attack on a former Russian spy and his daughter in the U.K. But there's another story that might have been overshadowed by all the back and forth between Russia and the United States and Europe. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the FBI have accused Russian hackers of targeting and penetrating some of the country's most sensitive infrastructure, including power, nuclear, water, and aviation networks. The hackers could have turned off the lights and water for much of the country. Joel Brenner is a former National Security Agency Inspector General and former head of U.S. counterintelligence under the Director of National Intelligence, and he has been warning for some time that something like a Russian hack on our infrastructure could happen. I spoke with Brenner recently, and I began by asking him exactly how the Russians were able to gain access to such critical U.S. infrastructure.
Lots and lots of penetrations of major networks come through the third parties they deal with. The vendors, the contractors. Let me give you an example. The Target breach some years ago, which shocked the public, was actually accomplished by importing malware through their heating, ventilation, and air conditioning subcontractor.
Wow.
So that the one looks for, if you're an attacker, you look for the easy place to find. What's the soft underbelly? And that's often not the actual target you're after, but somebody that they deal with on a regular basis and trust. And that's what the Russians have been doing.
So staging malware with those smaller commercial operators, subcontractors, sometimes using systems where logins didn't require two-step verification,
right,
things like that. But I guess what, we can talk about then what they did afterwards. But it does make me wonder, what you're describing is sort of a low-tech, loosely connected, not very well overseen system of companies and subcontractors, but who collectively are in charge of extraordinarily important infrastructure in this country.
Collectively, they are, and individually, some of them are. But even when you're looking at an individual company, not just a sector, you're talking about systems of systems. And those systems of systems are being used by individuals. And very often, the people are the weakest part of the of that system. People click on stuff they shouldn't click on. My old friends at NSA used to say that the weakest link in any system was never the silicon-based unit on the desk. It was the
carbon-based
unit in the chair. That's right. And that's the case here with phishing attacks, for example. Some of these are not individual behavior issues. They're management issues. For instance, not using dual-factor authentication for sensitive systems. That's easy to do.
So ultimately, the hackers collected information pertaining to industrial control systems. So, I mean, Joel Brenner, just not to put too fine a point on it, but is this the government saying that if the Russians had wanted to, they could have turned off the lights?
That's how I read it. I think that we are seeing what in military terms is called preparation of the battle space. In the old days, people talked about preparation of the battlefield. You prepositioned tanks near the border. You moved ammunition up where you'd need it. You did some psychological operations in the territory you were going to attack, for example. Now they talk about the battle space because so much of it is electronic. And I think that what we saw here was the prepositioning of tools that could be used to bring down a particular network.
But would Russia ever really go that far? Because I imagine if they did, I mean, maybe not, but there's the spy poisoning in the UK. But like if they did, if they decided to switch off the lights in New York City, wouldn't that be seen in the United States as tantamount to an act of war?
It might be. But here's what I want your listeners to understand. The existence of fundamental vulnerabilities in civilian-controlled critical infrastructure does affect the White House's ability to pull the lever of international power. I'll give you an example. In 2014, when the bank J.P. Morgan was breached, initially it was thought that was a Russian attack. It wasn't. But that's what President Obama thought. And there was a piece in the New York Times in which Obama was quoted as asking his intelligence chiefs whether Putin was sending him the message, a message. That is, was Putin telling Obama, and this was when Ukraine was up in flames, not just smoldering, that if we, the United States, took more forceful action in Ukraine, that Putin was going to take down a major American bank? Now, that's something that the president would have to take into account when deciding how to exercise or whether to exercise our national power, including military power. The game that's being played here now, Meghna, is not open warfare. Mm-hmm. The hostilities are taking place in the gray space between war and peace at the level that is carefully calibrated to be below the level of what the public calls acts of war. So we're seeing things that are hostile, they are expensive, they do hamper us, they hobble us, but they're not things that are going to lead to open warfare. That's the space in which Putin is playing, and he plays his cards very well.
So the notion that the mere possibility of the Russians being able to do something like this, and that that might inform a U.S. national security response, is very sobering. But to be fair, the U.S. is playing in this same space too, right? I mean, wasn't it the United States and Israel that unleashed Stuxnet onto Iran and stopped all those centrifuges in Iran?
We should hope that the United States knows how to play very well in this space. And I'm not going to confirm what's widely accepted, that it was the United States and Israel did that. The public information about it certainly looks that way. And all nations that can do it are doing it. This is an area in which we couldn't afford not to be capable. Yeah. But we are not exercising those capabilities at this point against civilian infrastructures elsewhere.
Well, so this gets us back to sort of what sort of defensive capabilities we ought to be thinking about here regarding our civilian infrastructure. Because I do note, when we talk about power, for example, or any one of these utilities, most of it is not owned by the federal government, right? I mean, these are private sector businesses that may be heavily regulated, but we're leaving a lot of the protections, the defensive protections, up to them, aren't we?
Oh, you're so right. The most frequent number I see is that something on the order of 85% of what we classify as critical infrastructure is privately owned. And in the United States, the government cannot simply issue orders as to how people ought to run their businesses, and we don't want them to do that. So the question is, how do we move that sector or group of sectors toward a more secure posture?
Joel Brenner, last year you told us very clearly that there are multiple recommendations that you forwarded to the Trump administration, one of which was that we have to take critical infrastructure off the public internet. Just like build a wall, but at least build a moat between it.
I think that isolation of critical controls, limited number of critical controls in critical infrastructure, isolating them from the public internet is absolutely essential if we're going to become materially more secure. Now, isolation is a relative term, and rational people can disagree about exactly how to implement that kind of notion. We do see it in some places. For example, in pipeline controls now, we see companies that have analog controls on pipeline pressure so that if the online electronic digital controls were to go haywire and intentionally run up the pressure in a line so that it would explode, you'd have an analog control that would override that. That's an example of an isolated control. You could not find that analog device on the network because it's not there. And if you can't find it, you can't attack it.
Well, Joel Brenner is the former Inspector General of the NSA and head of U.S. Counterintelligence in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. He's a senior research fellow at MIT's Center for International Studies. Joel Brenner, thank you so much.
A great pleasure. Thanks.